Of the Gap on Draft podcast. I am your co-host Corey Kinnon alongside my co-pilot Dalton Miller. Dalton, today we are going to be doing a little mailbag action here. So we've got five questions lined up. Before we do that, Dalton, how was your wonderful day in Portugal?
It was wonderful. Got a nice little arm or bicep and chest pump in this morning, a little shoulders too. Went on a nice walk and little cafe run with my son. We're making that a tradition. Guys being dudes, the old John Ledgerd intro to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast with Trevor Sikkema back in the day. Guys being dudes. That's what me and my son do, man. My wife starts work at 9:15. We go out, get coffee. He gets breakfast. It's a good thing. And then after she got off of work, we went for a nice walk by the cliffs. I didn't throw myself off. and that's always, you know, a positive. The views where we're at, I mean, I never take a moment to forget how truly blessed I am for being in this beautiful place. And when the weather is good, it is impossible not to be outside.
The vibes are high. The vibes are high. This is a pretty nice day in Ohio as well. I've had to work all day today, so I haven't got to experience yet, but I'm gonna try to take a walk this afternoon. I think I'm gonna try to get out and do it. So let's get to this mailbag. Let's get to it. Dalton, do you want to read off these questions or do you want me to?
I will. Listen, Discord coming in clutch again, guys. If you are looking to join a community, I have one on Discord for the NFL draft and for a bunch of other things as well. We talk all things up and down life. But Ashish asked, I feel like the Eagles have been the team of late that scoops up top talent because somebody always drops due to injury or off the field concerns. N'Kobe Dean fell to the third after being talked as a first or second rounder. Mitchell fell into their laps. Jalen Carter was a top five pick until all of the off field stuff happened with him. Most people didn't have Nolan Smith falling until 30. Which player has the most potential to slide to the point where they shouldn't and the Eagles reap the benefits? Corey, is there a name that really jumps out to you?
There are a couple that have been getting mocked later and later as of late that I don't think should. But they traded a pick for Jahan Dotson last year. And I know he had the play in the Super Bowl this year, but I don't think that particularly went how they wanted it to.
It's super unfortunate, too. Just a little Jahan Dotson quick sidebar here. The greatest interview that I've ever had. Incredibly well-spoken individual. Some of the crazy that he's had drop issues in the NFL, because at his pro day at Penn State, some of the softest, you could not hear a pin drop when he was catching the football. So, man, he was smooth. I liked his tape. Really unfortunate that he has just been not good at all at the NFL level.
But that's to say, if Luther Burden is there at 32, you add Luther Burden to a wide receiver room with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, would be absolutely disgusting. Another one is one that you're going to hate because you love this player so much, but Nick Emmanuel is not getting as much first-round buzz as he should be getting. Mid first round buzz as he should be getting, early for like top 20 buzz, I think, as he should be getting. If Nick Emmanuel falls to 32, my guy,
I'm gonna cry. I will cry.
Yeah. Although Emmanuel isn't necessarily like the biggest Fangio safety ish, but again, what he did, here's where I'm at with Emmanuel though. Like what South Carolina asked him to do isn't what he's gonna be asked to do at the NFL level. Like I don't see he's not going to be a box slot defender at the NFL level. I don't think like as full timey as he was at college.
I disagree with that.
Do you think he's going to play predominantly in the box slot?
No, he played split field in most of his snaps that I watched. He was playing on the back end as a split field guy in quarters most of the time.
He played 414 snaps in the box this year.
That's what it says, but you rotate down.
193 free safety, 146 in the slot.
Yeah. I mean, he played mostly as a split field guy who would come forward, would rotate forward.
Do you think that's what he's going to do at the NFL level?
I mean, he can do whatever the hell he wants. He's 6'3", 230. He's smooth. I mean, he can literally do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do. He's 230. He could play linebacker for all I care. Like, it doesn't matter. He's a dime linebacker. He's honestly, it would shock me if Dan Quinn didn't see him and scoop him up, because Jahdae Barron's probably going to be gone. And Dan Quinn's going to look at him and see a guy that he can do whatever he wants with. And he loves safety play. So hopefully they steal him from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I want to see something here real fast with the Eagles safety room.
I also just don't really trust PFF's positional charting when it comes to all of that stuff all of the time.
That's fair.
My observation was that he played a ton of split field quarter safety for them.
Yeah. I mean, quarters is, that's a fancy thing. So, I mean, that would definitely fit. CJ Gardner Johnson.
Yeah, and it's quarters cover six a lot too. So he's going to be rotating down a lot in that and playing robber.
Yeah.
So
CJ Gardner Johnson played 243 in the box, 805 over the top. So, I mean, that's definitely a split, and 112 in the slot. So that's definitely a split that Emin Warrior could definitely play at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Yep. Or Starks, to be honest, too. But I can't for the life of me think Starks. No, Starks ain't falling that far. No way.
But after testing, it is surprising that Emin Warrior would be down there. But also, I mean, I think we'd be remiss to not talk about one of the edge guys, either Scorton or...
Scorton, I thought about, too, yeah.
Scorton's a name that could fall. I mean, Nolan... Walter Nolan, but well, I mean, we're lower on Nolan, but a lot of people are very, very high on Nolan. And on that defense, in that environment surrounding him where he can just attack, he could be very, very disruptive in that defense.
In the role of replacing the defensive tackle they just lost as well. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The Walter Nolan one just makes way too much sense. So there are quite a few avenues. I think there's going to be a defense.
There's a lot of names, unfortunately.
Yeah, that the Eagles could definitely land there. And I don't love that.
No, because it's just the rich getting richer. It's and Kansas City's really good at doing this usually as well. So
they've kind of deviated from the path over the past couple of years. But they typically are pretty good.
I mean, having Creed Humphrey fall in your lap at 64 is disgusting.
Unreal.
Who are your favorite day three sleepers, Corey?
Yeah. Oof. So, man, this is a tough one. So if you give me DJ Giddens round four, I'm going to take DJ Giddens round four. I think I'll start there. I think we all know I love DJ Giddens. After he tests, though, I tend to think that he's probably going to fall round three, like maybe late comp pickish round three. But if you give me him round four, I'll take him round four all day. Safety wise, I like Jonas Anker. I really like Jonas Anker out of Virginia as a guy that you can pull in round four, round five, and plug in to at least some sort of rotational role defensively. If you would, I know you don't like Billy Bowman, but if you would tell me that Billy Bowman would fall to day three, I would.
Hey, I'm on a freaking island with Billy Bowman. Yeah, you don't like Billy Bowman. I'm going to take everyone's word for it and just sit this one out.
That's how I feel about some of the quarterback moves, but and then as far as a wide receiver, let me find a wide receiver, because you can find wide receiver day three wide receivers that can do stuff like Ty Felton, man.
I was just gonna bring up Ty Felton and Antoine Wells, Juice Wells as
Juice
well.
Juice Wells is a good one. Jalen Lane's another one too. I know Jalen Lane's tiny, but I love Jalen Lane can move, dude.
Yes, he can. Jadon Blue, for me, I think he goes day three, but. I mean, that dude can absolutely fly. Torrey Horton has kind of disappeared from the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
world. Really good player at Colorado State. I think Luke Lackey for me at tight end. Mm. I think the injuries might have zapped a little bit of his athleticism, like his overall explosiveness, but I think he's mm-hmm. still really, really loose overall. And I think that he will continue to improve a little bit as a blocker. I think he's already a decent blocker, and his dad obviously was a fantastic offensive lineman, so that should help as well. Other guys on day three, Bashel Tutten, another running back on day three, who I think can come in, explosive guy. My guy in this draft might be Tonka Hemingway. And at 270 pounds, he's bigger than that. He's like 285 or something like that. But he's not very big. He's not super explosive. He's just a really good football player. And you tell me that you can get me a decent rotational guy on day three to defend the run. And I'm going to be pretty happy with that. Other than that, linebacker, I'll throw,
I think Smile Mondin continues to be my day three linebacker that I'll throw three, a dart. Though. You don't think so?
I think he goes day two. There's no linebackers in this class, no, man.
There aren't.
For me, it's Barrett Carter. He can't see anything. But when he does see things, or when you give him the ability to attack downhill, he can be really, really good in those situations.
I got two more. Going back to the offensive side of the ball here.
Corey Kiner. I need to bring Corey Kiner into this. Corey freaking Kiner. That dude is a bowling ball. LSU transfer to Cincinnati. That dude's got it as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw two more out here as well. One F tight end-ish kind of thing. Rondae Gadsden, dude. If somebody drafts that guy just to play big slot and be an F tight end, he'll produce for you day three. And then offensive line, one of my guys from over the summer who unfortunately just didn't take a step forward, but I think a move inside the guard, and I think he's got all the physical traits in the world, including play strength and core strength to at least anchor steadily as he tries to figure some other stuff out. But like the Emory Jones slide is on for real. I think that's real. But you give me Emory Jones day three, and you're talking about a guy that can automatically be a utility swing player from day one and then develop into a starter. Like I truly believe that still, even if he didn't take those strides forward, the dude's physically gifted as they come. So Emory Jones.
I got a couple more that I just want to quickly shout out. Jared Ivey. I just think he's a good football player, man. I just think he's a good football player. Riley Leonard as a quarterback. I'm going to throw a quarterback out there just as a backup, somebody who can come in and be a little bit dangerous with his legs. Breshard Smith transformed that SMU offense. I think he's a really good wide receiver out of the backfield. And then my guy, Jamari Caldwell.
Nice. Caldwell probably does go day three after he didn't test very well.
Well, and he's a one tech. Like,
it's fine.
Yeah, run defending one tech.
He's like today's BJ Raji.
If he's anywhere near BJ Raji, Raheem Sanders, where does he go? I don't know. He tested really well, but all the injuries and stuff. I just think he's a good football player. Like, I don't think he's super explosive. I know that he ran really fast. I don't see that on the field, but you can legitimately split him out wide, and he can run routes as well. A decent little rotational back. Punk and Shine, the Riley Leonard fan on Discord, asks, out of the offensive linemen in the draft, there's a lot of these guys out there. Which ones do you think are the most versatile, being able to move inside, that are currently playing tackle right now? I mean, there's everybody.
The list goes on,
All of them. Are there any actual offensive tackles in this class is the better question. Wyatt Millen, his name is... disappeared, and probably because he wasn't very good at the Senior Bowl
and then didn't test very well
and that dude's tape is awesome at times. And so he might be a guy I think that can move inside.
Talk about Emory Jones again here too.
Yeah, it's all the names that we know. It's Emory Jones, it's Jonas Savainai, it's you know, Donovan Jackson is inside outside more, but there's so many guys. I mean, Will Campbell, who's probably going to play tackle at the NFL level, obviously, but he could move inside and be a day one starter.
Yeah, I think Kelvin Banks headlines this conversation for me, because I truly do think Kelvin Banks is a guard.
Yeah,
and he'd be a pretty dang good one, man.
Marcus Bowe.
The
center. But
speaking of Bowe, I want to go back to the day three question because I forgot one. of a guy who played tackle and then played guard, but he's actually a center at the NFL. And that's Oregon State's Joshua Gray is one of my favorite day three offensive linemen.
Yeah.
He's going to be a center at the NFL, and he's going to be so freaking good. Like, yeah. I just have it in my mind that he's a fifth-year guy. He's just going to go to the NFL, and he's going to be a good center.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. If Ashton Janty makes it to 12, does he have to be the Cowboys pick? Does he have to be? No. Will he be if he's there at 12? Probably. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, I think that the Cowboys need weapons. Where those weapons are deployed doesn't really matter to me all that much. And here's the thing. The Cowboys could go a million different directions, and I think a lot of people want to bring up the Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan or like all these other running backs who were drafted very high. And Bijan is a little bit different because he was drafted to a bad team. Gibbs was drafted to a team that had a really good thing coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a ton of needs. They drafted a linebacker in the first round that year, too. I think when you look at the Cowboys, there are a lot of other needs at high leverage positions, expensive positions. And so I don't think they have that same luxury as the Detroit Lions did to go and take a guy. JT also isn't running a 4.29 or a 4.31. He still has home run speed. He's still an all-around back. He's probably the best all-around back I've ever evaluated. Mm-hmm. I think that Bijan and Saquon are more gifted athletic talents, but there is really no weakness for Ashton Janty outside of maybe some fumbles and the fact that he's had 800 touches, mm-hmm. which is a lot. And you have to take that into consideration as well. So no, he absolutely does not need to be the pick, but I'm not going to sit here and throw my computer screen out the window if he is.
So here's one thing that really sticks out to me about Jerry Jones. And this is a question for you because you're more insulated in Cowboys territory than I am. Are they going to run into the season with Cooper Beebe and Brock Hoffman as the Zach Martin pathway? Because what screams Jerry Jones to me is like, anytime he sees a need in the trenches, he's investing a high asset in it. Like, if you just look at all the amount of players from the offensive or defensive line that they've invested first round picks in, even going back to Mazi Smith, where it was between Mazi Smith and Matthew Bergeron. To me, it just feels like the Cowboys are so old school throwback with the Jones family. It's like, if there's a need in the trenches, we're taking trenches. Like,
but that, running back is another one.
That's fair. That's fair. But there's part of me that's like, are they really going to roll out Brock Hoffman at guard next year?
They might.
BB's
good. BB's fine.
But he played center for them mostly near the end of the year, right? Yeah. Yes, so like, are they going to roll out Brock Hoffman at guard, or are they going to like a surprise Cowboys pick that wouldn't surprise me would be if Donovan Jackson at 12. Like if they pick Donovan Jackson at 12, I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Kelvin Banks at 12.
Or Kelvin Banks. Guard. Yeah. So that's the one thing, like, or if Will Campbell falls, like if Will Campbell falls to 12, like I can't get it out of my mind that Jerry Jones can be like, nope, we need to replace Zach. He was a stalwart and foundation of our franchise.
I would love that. I honestly would love that. I think you're taking a worse football player, no matter who it is really, because I think Ashton Janty is one of the top five players in this class, but
yeah.
When you look at positional value, and a lot of people will say, well, is a guard really that much more? But yeah, I kind of think so, because you're also protecting Dak Prescott with that pick as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Your
very much most expensive asset.
So yeah, I can't just shake my mind that Jerry Jones would be like, nope, we need to replace Zach. Like, and like, that is like his on the table all night in the draft room. Like, I can't shake that out of my head for some reason. So. That wouldn't shock me if it was like Banks or Jackson at 12.
Here is a really good one. And I think that we need to discount teams drafting quarterbacks, because I think if you hit on a quarterback, It's obviously going to improve your team more than anybody else. But which teams, this is from Chris Baller 250, which teams do you think can improve their teams the most for 2025 with their draft selections?
I'm going to stand on my like little Homer podium for a second here. I continue to think the Cleveland Browns are a very well-coached football team. The Cleveland Browns are mid-quarterback play from winning 11 games. They did it 2 years ago with Joe Flacco, PJ Walker, Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting games for them. I truly don't think they're that far away. I think they got lost in the sauce of trying to build an entire team around one player, and that one player just stinks, and that one player is not going to be in the picture this year. So, like, they're going to get back to some sort of roots and some sort of identity. And they have four top 100 picks. Like, I, for the life of me, like, again, we're talking mid-quarterback play here because, like, in 2023, Kevin Stefanski won 11 games and got positive EPA for one game out of PJ Walker. Like, we're talking about a guy who can scheme his guys open and can make life easy on the quarterback if he has a quarterback that can just do the bare minimum without trying to do it all on his own. So I think the Browns are in that conversation. That might be a homer take by me, but I truly think the Browns are in that conversation because they're going back to the roots as a wide zone team after 1 year of trying to become a phone booth gap team to play around Deshaun Watson. They're not doing it anymore. So like that just screams to me like some positive regression or positive progression is coming for the Browns. There's a couple other teams though that I really like. And it's because they have young quarterbacks that I still believe in. The New England Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. You're the worst. You just took my two. I hate you. You are the worst. No, 100% I agree with you on both of those. When it comes to improvements through the draft, I truly believe that. But go ahead, talk through the exact reasons why.
So the Jaguars are way easier because I mean, Trevor Lawrence has an offensive mind who has made it work very well, and he has playmakers around him now as well. Like Brian Thomas Jr. is a legitimate top-end wide receiver in the NFL. You get a guard in there, plug a guard up in there. That's what they decide. They go at five, or they turn around, and it's a deep offensive line class in terms of offensive tackles who are actually guards. So like turn around early second round and get a Gray Zabel or somebody like that. If they're on the board, a Jonas Avayanai to plug in at guard. Like I think that can work. I do think they probably need a running back because ETN just doesn't think has it. And Bigsby is, I think he could be a solid two, but I don't think you want to give him a bulk of carries there. But I do think they're like, protecting Trevor Lawrence away from one Trevor Lawrence exploding. They did just move off of a lot of offensive pieces though, like Christian Kirk, who did produce for them with Trevor Lawrence, Evan Ingram, who did produce for them with Trevor Lawrence. So like there are some offensive pieces to replace there, but you have high draft assets to do it. And so the Jaguars, I think, and then this is just putting a lot of trust in Liam Cohen as well with that offense and with Trevor Lawrence. And then the Patriots, like I love Drake May. We saw a lot of flashes from Drake May down the stretch last year when he took over as a starting quarterback, despite having zero help around him, both in terms of wide receiver play and offensive line play. Absolutely baseline zero around him. They've already gone out of their way to try to do a lot along their offensive line. They just signed Stephon Diggs, whatever's left of Stephon Diggs. I don't think they're done adding wide receivers, and I don't think they're done adding offensive linemen either. I like Ramondre Stevenson as a back who can take a bulk of a workload off of a young quarterback's shoulders as well. I think he can be a grinded out two-down back. I think you need a supplemental back like Jaden Blue, I think would be an awesome back to pair with Ramondre Stevenson, something like that. But I do think they have the foundations. They have a head coach who is going to bring back an identity, a hard-nosed football identity to New England as well, which I thought Jerod Mayo would have done, but it seemed like they all kind of took a deep breath once Belichick took a dip out of that organization. And so I think they're going to try to get back to a little bit of that as well. And then defensively, I think they have really good defensive pieces already. Like they have foundational defensive pieces already in the building. So, I think the Patriots are due for potentially a sleeper breakout team, maybe even like wild card team.
Ooh. I don't know if they'll have enough offensively, but it kind of depends on how much Stephon Diggs has left as well. I think when we look, it's one more team, and it's because I think they're really, really close already after free agency, and it's the Chicago Bears. What is Caleb Williams going to be able to bring you in year two with a better supporting cast around him, with a new coaching staff surrounding him, who we believe is one of the best offensive minds in the NFL? So I think that's where you kind of have to look at when you're looking at the NFC.
Yeah, I agree there. Like, I'm trying to like force another round peg into a square hole, and there's really not another team. Like, you probably couldn't sell me that Justin Fields is going to take the Jets to some massive leap they haven't seen before. Same with Bryce Young in Carolina. Same with Derek Carr and the Saints refusing to just cut their losses and stop kicking the can. Like, even San Fran's tore quite a few studs away from their foundation this offseason. So like, those teams I'm going to remain pretty mum on. Same with like Miami. Like, you couldn't get me to buy into that Miami team. Same with Indianapolis. As much as I want to buy into Anthony Richardson, I'm not going to do it. So I think those are the three teams. And the Browns are probably a little bit of a homer take, but I think they're less than 2 years away from like from an 11-win season with Joe Flacco. It's like a 40-year-old Joe Flacco.
So for me, it's always tough because the NFL just moves so fast. Like, even year to year, you really, unless you do have the base, unless you do have the studs, it's really hard to continuously have success. And you see that in the NFC East every single year, just in the sheer fact that nobody can win it twice in a row. And haven't since 2004. So it's just kind of the way that things go in the NFL. It moves fast. Careers are about three and a half years long. And the roster turnover from year to year is insane most times. So having those foundational pieces and keeping those foundational pieces, shout out for
Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett is always a good thing. So, yeah. I think that those are kind of the three teams, the Bears, the Jags, and the Patriots, who I can see improving the most from their NFL draft haul. And that's all we got. That's five questions. We spent 27 minutes talking about five questions.
That's a great mailbag episode.
It was a decent little mailbag. Shout out to the Discord for coming in clutch there with the good questions that we were able to actually, you know, talk and expound upon. And if you guys missed it somehow, go back to our This or That episode, because that was one of the most fun episodes that I've done here on the Daft on Draft podcast. So make sure that you guys are checking that out. Make sure that you guys are having a good and safe weekend. Don't need any safety briefings or anything in here. Just be smart, make good decisions, and remember that nothing good happens after midnight. That's it. That's all we got. Corey has nothing else. Remember, guys, I love you. Goodbye.